Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you on another Sunday here on Six Eyes Radio Network, saying welcome all to the Sunday Gospel Show. We say welcome one, welcome all, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your questions, your comments, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things as we get into the Sunday Gospel Show this March 17th, 2024. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Have a good time and praise the Lord. Get your praise on without leaving the house here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So let us get started here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you, we have another way. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you just right now take the wheel of this here program. We ask you, Lord, just to touch, Lord Jesus, each and every person that is listening. We ask you to touch their hearts, Lord Jesus. We ask you first, Lord Jesus, to touch this program. Have your perfect will, your perfect way, especially in the heart of that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we could rejoice in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord Jesus, for those out there who have got some sort of illness, Lord Jesus, that are sick and shut in, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, and help them to serve you and serve you better, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who lost somebody, Lord Jesus, due to some sort of illness, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to comfort the family and friends, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you now, Lord Jesus. We ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen.
How you doing, Six?
I'm doing good. Ken, how are you?
I am doing great. Awesome, awesome. Two thumbs up. So, doing great.
Well, I'm doing great as well. Two thumbs up for me, two paws up for Trumpet.
All righty.
All right. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all those around the world. And thank you for joining us today. This is Queen Nye, and I am looking forward to today's service, today's worship, and the message that Pastor Bonnet is going to give us today. And I just wanted to say I got two thumbs up. My crown is sitting just perfect. And Diamond has four paws up, and she's being a pink girl today. Pink, pink, pink. But we are all blessed, and we're all welcome. With that, I am complete.
Amen. All right. Well, let's get into our morning scripture reading. That way we can get right into the boogie music. Amen. So here we go.
This is Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 10. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clear in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thought, and thy thought shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. And this was Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a rich blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Right. I'm going to need you gentlemen to get your coffee and be energized and bring it this morning because you guys are sleeping. What is going on? What's up?
Well, I'm right here. I'm going.
Okay. I'm going to have to light a fire up under you guys. Six, get it together. Get you some B-complex.
Yep.
All right. Well, wherever he is,
great.
He needs to.
I am great. I'm eating a piece of fish. I got a great cup of Maxwell House and an oatmeal cookie. I'm great.
Well, where's my oatmeal cookie? Where's Missionary Ken's oatmeal cookie?
That's right.
At the store.
At the store? Shame on you. This is how you treat your staff? You got to do better.
Come on, with it.
God shared with his people. Now you got to do better.
All right. You guys got oatmeal cookies coming.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get this music started. All right. Here we go. We're going to have a little bit of Dedrick Haddon. Love him like I do.
Love him like I do. What's up, family? What's good?
Hey.
Why y'all looking all sad? Mary, Mary here, Ruben, everybody in the cup. We ready to do this?
Nah, man. Everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they'll make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
Love him like I do. Love him like I do. That's why I love him like I do. Love him like I do. And friends, listen to these words. See God save me from my
thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah, I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins, cleanse this house from the inside out, restore me, take away my business doing it, no church or no Bible study, ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins, clean this house.
The best cleaner alive. Mm. Every now and then we all go through a little strife.
Yeah.
But if you let Him, He will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough.
Oh yeah,
you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe.
Yeah.
His grace is more than enough. Do it for me. Ooh.
You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
it's to our God. matter what you've been through, just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
The future is here.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, our preacher is here for the hour. Woo-hoo, we're ready for the message. So, it is time for Pastor Kenneth Bonnet from True Word of Faith and a great message for this Sunday, March 17th, 2024. So, welcome, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, and we are ready for a good word from the Lord today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have a music selection. I don't know if y'all played it already. Excuse me, I wasn't on the line earlier. I was traveling.
No, we hadn't played it yet, Pastor Bonnet.
Okay. Do you have that queued up to play or not?
No, we don't. We can't pull that off just right now. Okay.
That's all right. What song I sent you?
This was This one is called I Give Myself Away.
Okay.
By William McDowell.
All right. Well, I'm going to play it because it is an action that I want us to reflect on.
Okay.
The song is called I Give Myself Away by William McDowell.
All right.
All of our listeners today. This is something that each of us have to choose to do. We give ourselves to our jobs, our careers. We give ourselves to our spouses, our children, our family. But how many of us take the time to give ourselves to God? How many of us make ourselves available for God to use? The Bible said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you are. Oh, wherever you are listening to this right now, make that space a sanctuary to you and the Lord. Begin to open up your heart and your mind to God Almighty. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. I give myself away. I mean, you really want God to use you in this world. He don't have to use you like he used me. He don't have to use you like he's done with us. But that uniqueness that he put inside of you, when you give that back to him, that he would get glory from it in the advancement of the kingdom of God. God wants to use your talent. Maybe you're a writer, organizer, event planner. Maybe your gift helps support others. My life is not my own. To you, God, I belong. So I give myself. Christ gave himself to us. They didn't have to twist his arm. He wasn't forced to be on the cross. He said, no man take my life, for I have the power to lay it down and the power to pick it up. Give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you, to you, Lord. So I give myself. Then God, you ain't got to force me. I don't have to be trapped in the belly of a whale. I don't have to be in calamity. But right here, right now, Lord, I give myself to you. My own, you are the one. Give myself.
I give myself away.
How many of you today really want God to use your life? How many of you today really want God to have access to you? I know we at times, we want immediate access to God. Especially when we're going through difficult times and hard times and times where we don't know how we're going to make the ends meet or how we're going to do this or how we're going to do that. And when we call upon the Lord, we're looking for him to show up right then and right there. But how many of us take time to make God available in our lives? You know, make him available in our lives, through our lives. And touching others and reaching others. How many of us really take the time just to open up to God and say, Lord, whatever you have me to do, I do. Because of your love towards me and my love towards you. You know what's beautiful is in a relationship when between a husband and a wife, with the husband don't have to beg his wife to do simple things, but she take delight in doing those things for her husband. And it's a delight to the wife when the husband just do things for her without being prompt to do them. I remember years ago doing something for my wife out the blue, and she said, "Why you do this? What happened? What's this for?" And I said, "It's just because. Just because I love you. It's not a holiday, not your birthday. It was simply just because I was thinking about you and I thought that you were like this." That's what it means to be ready, available for God. Lord, I reached out to this person because I just wanted somebody else to have a better relationship with you. Lord, I spent time praying and ministering with this person because I remember John 3:16, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son. And since now I received him as my personal Lord and Savior, you gave him freely, so I must give myself freely so that I can be continually used for your greatest good, so that heaven would gain a greater influence, another soul. Lord, I give myself to you. This month is a month of stewardship. Thank God for you that are listening here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. This is the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. And perhaps you may or may not have a local church you attend to. It is our prayer today, my prayer, that you will receive the message that I will be sharing today. And it is our prayer that if this station is blessing you, that you ask God, how can you add financial support to the station, and what support can you give, or what support you should give? Now, if you're not in the position of giving at this moment, know this, it's just a season. You can't. It won't be like this always. There will come a season where you can support financially. And in that time, you do what God gives you to do. But this may be just your season to listen. And we want you to listen. We want you to grow. We want you to spiritually develop so that you will be another conduit, amen, for the kingdom of God. Resound the messages that you hear from the station. Pass it on to your friends, your neighbors. Maybe you're not eloquent in speech and you feel that we meet some criteria, or you feel that the message that you may hear from this station and others, that it can benefit a friend or coworker or even an enemy. We ask that you share it. And as you do, we know it will bring glory to the kingdom of God. Once again, thank God for everyone in their respectable place, one by one, name by name. Thank God for Brother Charles, the founder of this Six Eyes Radio Network. We continue to pray his strength in the Lord, that he will continue to grow in God and continue to do the things that God will have him to do. We thank God for each of the programs that's supported by this station that helps this station to move forward into your homes. And we pray that it is filling in your life or fulfilling in your life. And to all the gospel preachers that minister on this network, we pray that God will continue to strengthen each one of them name by name and one by one. And those of you that's listening and in prayer for us, thank you for your prayers. We love you with the love of Christ. This month of March, I'm blessed to talk from a subject called stewardship. And that word stewardship deals with the keepers of another's property. It deals with management, administration. It deals with the understanding of taking care of something that don't belong to you. Many times in our lives, we say, it's my life. And we have statements like, I want to be master of my own fate. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Anybody remember saying that to yourself? Tell me what to do? Anybody remember doing that? Amen. I got amen corner right here. Amen. I remember being at an age where I felt like I was strong enough, bad enough, able enough, smart enough to do what it is that I was doing at that time. And I didn't need nobody to tell me anything. But what I didn't know and what I didn't realize is what the old folks used to say is you're living on borrowed time. Now, all these years later, as the reality of getting older is settling in my mind, I'm more in the realization that I don't have a lot of time to waste. When I look around and see people dying that's my age or younger, and they're dying from high blood pressure, diabetes, car accident, wrong lifestyle choices, I realize that could be me. I could be gone. My work could be over. I could be standing before the Almighty to give an account for the life that I live. I have a question. If you died today, now, the next hour, if this was your last moment on this plane of existence, if you close your eyes for the last time to open them up in this world, and when you reopen your eyes, you're in the world beyond this one. You're standing before the Creator, the maker of your body, the maker of your soul. You're standing before Him, and you hear these words, give an account. Now, I know that's something that most of us don't spend a lot of time thinking about, because we're trying to pay this bill, we're trying to make this bill happen, and we're trying to get this guy attention or that girl attention. We're trying to please this one or to please that one. We're searching for this career. We're trying to get you to like us here, to follow us there. We're following this. We're liking that. We don't take a lot of time to what if. I open my eyes and I hear the words, give an account of your life. What would that moment be like for most of us? What would that moment feel like? What would that moment in your mind, in your thoughts, before words begin to come out, what will you begin to say? Paid to give an account of the life that you live. Upon close examination, will you be able to say, I done well with what you gave me? Or will you be the one that said, well, Lord, you gave me this idea and I did that, and Lord, you gave me this assignment and I accomplished that. And will you be able to give an account of those things that you accomplish for his name's sake? Or will you be the one that will say, well, Lord, I would have done this, but. Lord, I tried to do this, but. Lord, every time I went to do this, this and that began to be in the way and hinder me from accomplishing that which I know you wanted me to do. Now, I don't know who this message is for, and I don't even know how this is reaching your ears and your heart gate. It's not a part of my notes today, but as I begin to open up my mouth and let God have his way through me, this is the direction he led me first, even before I begin to give you the scripture and everything else that I'm going to be speaking on today. Somebody needs to understand there is a day coming when we will have to stand before our Creator and give an account to the life we live. Now, I know all my grace teachers are saying, well, thank God for grace. That may get me in the gate, but no further. And that's only if I truly trusted in his word. That's only if my faith rested on that to be the solution to my dying problem. But I'm still going to have to give an account for the life that I live, saved or unsaved. Delivered or undelivered, I'm still going to have to give an account. And for those of us that's really not sure of that statement, let me open my Bible and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. And reading from the King James, if I turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, I could turn there to verses 13 and 14, and I will read these words. Let us hear the conclusion. The what? The conclusion. I mean, after it's all been said and done. At the end of all your explanations. Here is the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole purpose of existence, why I'm here, why you're here, why we are here. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? Well, the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God. Fear God. God. This fear is not just to be afraid of God, but it is to reverence God, to respect God, to adhere to God. So fear God and keep. You know, if I gave you some money, it's your choice to keep it or to spend it. If I gave you something of value, if I sent you, you say, Brother Bonnet, I'm in need of some clothing or I'm in need of furniture, I'm in need of this or that, and I send it to you. Well, at the point of you receiving what I sent, it will be 100% your responsibility to hold on to it. That means if it needs to be wiped down, if it needs to be positioned here or positioned there, if it needs to be managed, if it needs certain conditions to keep it running in the condition that it was sent, then that will be your obligation to keep it. So here we read again, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep
says commandments, plural, not just a command. It don't say the Ten Commandments. It don't say the Mosaic Law. It says keep his commandments. That means that God will have a relationship with you as an individual, and there may be certain things that I can do that you're not able to do because he's commanded you not to do. I know that we think, well, because my brother can have this liberty, I can have it too. I've had children. I have children. Amen. And in the upbringing of those children, all my children who I love equally, I could not treat them the same. There were some things I could do for one that I couldn't do for the other. There were some things I gave one permission that I didn't give the other permission. There were some allowances that I allowed one to do that I wouldn't allow the other to do. It was all based on them individually because I knew them. And good parents know their children and understand who you can give the authority to do this or that. So here we see fear God and keep his commandments, plural. Then we get those two little dots, you know, that semicolon. And it explains the previous words for us. For this, to fear God, to keep his commandment. For this is the whole, not part, the whole duty of man. Now, God in his infinite wisdom knew that we are some hard-headed people. And we're going to hear instructions, and like our children did us, when we tell them to do something, they ask the question, why? And you might be glad sometimes God don't act like some of our mama because they hit you in the mouth and said, because I said so, that's why. Thank God for grace. That's when grace showed up. That's when grace showed up. Grace showed up because that backhand was coming. Lord, help us today. And so he answered the question for us because he knew we were going to say why. Verse 14, for God shall bring how many works? Every work. Now to all of y'all that want to keep throwing the grace card, you're the one said we ain't supposed to take nothing from the word of God. I'm reading it right here in black and white. I'm reading it in black and white. I don't know what you're reading it in. My screen background is black and the writing is in white. Now there's some blue writing in here because I got I got here the Strong's with it so I can see the original Hebrew words. Amen. In my study. But nevertheless, I'm reading it. It says, for God shall bring every work unto judgment. Judgment. That's the act for deciding a case. Judgment. That is the balance of things, to the examination of the evidence. Judgment. You quick to say, don't judge me. But my brother, my sister, it ain't me that you got to worry about judging you. It's when you open your eyes and you see, give account, and you hear these words, give an account of the life that you live. And verse 14 says for us that for God, not man, but God shall bring every work unto judgment. That means how you treat your mama, how you treat your daddy, how you treat your brothers and sisters, how you treat those, your neighbors, how you treat your enemies, God shall bring. Never mind what the preacher said, God gonna bring to judgment every secret thing. So you that like that song, Secret Lover? Uh-huh. He going to bring that to judgment too. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, God is going to bring it to judgment. That brings me to my message today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that insert. Our monthly emphasis is on stewardship. And the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, set this perimeter for us to walk on. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I'm reading the New King James. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, comma, holy, acceptable to God, capital G, comma, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And this is in conjunction with. That means they said to you, you want to control your TV, you need a remote control, and it must have batteries. And some of you, you got a remote control, but you have no batteries, and you wonder why you can't change the channel. That's because you haven't done the and. Am I making myself clear? So he says, he beseeches us, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we will present. That word present is presentation. That's why the preachers can say to you, you're going to have to give an account of the life you live. And anybody tell you different, they messing with the scripture. They messing with the word of God. They are misleading you. You will have to give an account to God, not me, for the life you're living. He said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then it says, and do not, those are caution signs. You're driving on the road and you hear warning, construction ahead, and then you see the sign says merge to the right. And you say, well, I'm going to just keep straight. They ain't doing nothing. I don't see nobody. And the next thing you know, you got a flat tire. You're on the side of the road because you didn't want to merge. Because you ignored the sign. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sound like repentance. Because the word repentance deals with rethinking in your mind. Rethink how you've been thinking. Repentance is your thought process. Repent means rethink how you've been thinking. Where do you think it in your mind? So in order for your mind to think differently, you have to renew it. That's where the transformation comes from. That's how you are able to be holy. That's how you are able to be a living sacrifice, not a dying sacrifice. God don't want you when you're dead. He wants you while you're alive. Stop waiting till you don't have no more strength. Don't wait till you have no more strength. Give God your life now. Well, Brother Peace, I'm already old. I'm already this. I'm already that. Give him what's left. Repent for what you didn't do. Now start doing. Tomorrow is too late. Start right now. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, comma, because when you renew your mind, that you may, once again, this ain't mom and them talking, this ain't, you know, big mom been going to church all these years, she been praying for us and this and that, all that's fine and dandy, that's lovely, that's what they supposed to do as a covering, but at the end of the day, God going to deal with you and your understanding, and you understand right from wrong, you know it. So when you did wrong, your conscience said, but you were hard-headed and didn't want to repent. You didn't want to renew your mind. You said, well, they had it coming anyway. God ain't tell you that. What if you had everything coming to you, went on ahead and came? What if God didn't stop the evil that would have happened to you? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That I may prove what that is, what? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's a good will, acceptable will, and a perfect will of God. Most of us live in that acceptable will. We have to grow to live in that perfect will. That perfect will is when God say move, you say move where, move when, and move how. And you do it. So the Apostle Paul is letting us know here that how we show up matters. Remember the words of stewardship. Stewardship is the job of supervising or taking care of something such as an organization or property. Remember, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. That means you and I are God's property. And how we manage his properties matter. How would you like to be a landlord and have tenants? And you come to a place where you have newly developed and you lend it out to people, and 2 months later it looks like it's been there for 20 years, run down, and nobody's taken care of. Would not you be mad enough to spit fire? Mm-hmm. So imagine how God feels when we keep abusing our bodies, our minds, and our spirit. Our vessels don't belong to us. So our first stewardship is self-government, is governing ourselves. Before I can help you, I need to help me. It don't mean I can't help you in the process of helping myself. But my first action is to get my mind right. So it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord, who needs you now. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. See, I got to ask God, bless me now. My Savior. Why? Because if you don't bless me, if you don't help my mind be regulated right, God, how can I do what you need me to do? So I must learn to give myself away so that you can use me. That was the importance of the song. We are giving ourselves to God. But what if a gift that is raggedy and tore up? How would you look at me and I come well-dressed
very good clothing. And I tell you, God has sent me to bless you. And I give you clothes that torn, not in a stylish way, but they're abused. They're old. They're used. I tell you, well, just wash these. They'll be all right. And you look at them, and then I got the audacity to tell you, oh, you ain't going to say thank you? I'm giving you clothes. You ain't got nothing. At least it's more than what you had. Wait a minute, fella. I appreciate you for wanting to help me, but if the clothes I got on is stained and torn and the ones that you got that you're about to give me are stained and torn, then you are really haven't done me any favor. So you haven't tried to elevate me. You're really just trying to keep me in the same state. What if God left us that way? We tell you, come just as you are. You come hungry, you come broke, and we leave you hungry and broke. And we tell you, well, be thankful we opened the door for you. I know most of y'all, in your mind, you didn't say it, but in your mind, you began to cuss. You had some set words in your mind on that thought process. Some of y'all thought about laying hands on the preacher or anybody that was going to mistreat you like that. You thought about throwing it back in their face and spitting too. You thought about some negative stuff. I know you did. You ain't got to tell it. I already knew it was to provoke you to a thought because it provoked me to one. And so I'm telling you, I'm speaking to us that we have to give an account for the life. And that life deals with how we treat others. That life deals with how we live before others. Time out for saying, do as I say and not as I do. That been dead a long time ago. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. So he says here, our bodies are the property of God, and he holds us accountable for how we take care of it. So what God wants from your body, he wants it to be a living sacrifice. But for them, a sacrifice was an animal that didn't have blemish. In other words, it had to be from the best of their stock. It couldn't just be the weak or the dying of their stock. So he said, I want you to be strong. Not dying, but living. So I want you to be a living sacrifice. That means you do stuff that hurt. That means you do stuff that you don't want to do, but because he said it, you do it anyhow. He wants you to be holy. God has demanded for us to be holy. He said, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is also holy. So if God said, be holy, and we said, well, I can't be holy, then you lying on God because his word have already said, be holy. So is God unfair? Is God unrighteous that he would tell us to do something that we can't do? No. So we can be holy. That's set aside for the use of, you know, anybody that got china of any kind of value. Most homes that had a formal dining room in it had a china cabinet in it. And in that china cabinet was the dishware and the silverware that would be used for special occasions or on Sundays. And the family would come to the table, and you would pull out the china set. You pull out the silverware or your formal dishes. Mm-hmm. Those dishes were sacred. They were holy. That's right. You couldn't go into those dishes and just pull out a silverware from that and just begin to use it. You couldn't just take one of those fine china that the plate itself was worth $100 or more for just the plate or the saucer. Because real china costs money, y'all. And they like going to Walmart and you get a set of dishes for $20. No, that ain't no. So you just didn't use that. You didn't just throw that. You didn't just go and get that and throw it in the microwave and put it in the microwave. It got a gold trim around it, a silver trim. You didn't put that in the microwave because it was holy. It was sacred. And God said, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy. Don't give me a microwave you. How do you know what's acceptable to God? Well, it's through relationship. Now, me and my wife, we can have some heated fellowships. Yes, we can. Y'all can too, so don't look at the preacher that way. Y'all can have some heated fellowship moments too. We all do. But that's some things that I ain't going to do or say to my wife, because they just ain't acceptable. And there's some things that she may do, but there's some things that she ain't going to cross because she know it ain't acceptable. It ain't that she's scared of you, boy. No, she ain't scared of me at all. I ain't going to tell y'all she hit me the other day, but, you know, she ain't scared of me. She ain't scared of me. She ain't scared of me. I started laughing. I saw him call the police. Amen. But she loves you, boy. I dare you to put your mouth on me in front of her. Me and her could just get finished arguing. Say something bad about me. All that frustration she had about me just changed and went all to you. You finna get it because she ain't finna let you talk about me. I just made her mad as hot fish grease. And you know fish grease got to be hot. You know, you can't have no lukewarm fish grease. You know, that grease got to be hot just right. You'll mess up some fish if you ain't got that grease right. That's for the people that know how to cook. That ain't acceptable. You about to get in trouble with them old cooks. You ain't got that temperature right on that grease. You're talking about you finna fry something. There's some things that's acceptable and not acceptable. Amen. As much as I talk and friendly to people, my wife ain't got to tell me, honey, your hand too low on that woman's waist. She ain't got to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a sister in the way. I heard a sister just say something. Look at him. Amen. Lord have mercy. There are some things that you ain't even got to read to know that just ain't right because of relationship. When you have a relationship with God, I don't have to sit here and give you a bunch of rules of what you can and cannot do. Amen. Because God said what's acceptable to God. There are no details with that. Because this comes through relationship. I may be a drunk and God will accept me as a drunk, but I can't stay drunk because his word told me to be sober. And that's more than just drinking alcohol. I found out you can be drunk with power. You can be drunk with stupidity. We call that stuck on stupid, but that's a culture barrier. Amen, somebody. Then we are cautioned. Now, we have given three things. a living sacrifice, we're to be. This is how we're to present ourselves to God. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. But then he cautions us in his word. We're cautioned not to be conformed to this world. Now, that word conform deals with how we process this. So he tells us, don't be conformed to this world, the word conform means to act in accordance to or be obedient to a rule or the norm. So he tells us, don't conform to the world. Don't act according to the world. Don't obey the rule of the norm of the world. But to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. However, the word transformation or transform means to make make a thorough or dynamic change in the form of an appearance or character. You know, once upon a time, your character may have been very lustful, but because you are committed to God, when you get a wife or a husband, your character is transformed that you're no more lustful towards the opposite sex or the same sex, but you're committed to the operation of God for the wife or husband that you said yes to. Now, I'm talking about a heterosexual relationship. Because two women and two men in a relationship, it already violates the rule of God. And there's hope for you because you too can have a renewed mind. Well, what to do, preacher, if two women who are married and two men who are married decide they get a divorce? One come to the knowledge of Christ, or both come to the knowledge of Christ, they get a divorce because, number one, it may have been legal in man's eye, but it's unlawful in God. That means any deeds that I was doing that God considered unlawful, I stopped. So if I went to Proverbs 6 and I read those things, Proverbs 16, if I read those things, that six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, and these things are violations of God's law. If I'm doing any of those things, when I come to him, those things I stop doing. Why? Because they keep me from being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Well, it's just a little lie. A little lie ain't never hurt nobody. That's a lie. That's a big lie. Because I read it in my book. You'll read it too if you keep reading the Bible. It says, every liar shall have their part in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is where hell going to be cast into. Now, if hell was already terrible and it's going to be cast into the lake of fire, you know, that's almost like when you play Monopoly and it says do not pass, go directly to jail. That means do not collect $200. There's no bonus for you there. You're going straight to the final place. So it says, transformation or transform means to make a thorough or dynamic change in the form of appearance. That means I may not have dressed right before. And my dress code is what it is because this is all I have. But as soon as I'm able to dress better, I do so.
Yeah.
And to those of you that got, and you meet those that don't have, and you see in your fellowship everybody's dressing a certain way, you got 50 dresses in your closet. And 5 of them got tags still on them. And they your size. You wrong if you don't give up at least one. Now, I will say you're selfish if you don't give 2. But that's me pushing it. Amen. Thank you over there. Amen, corner. Amen. All these are properties because why? If I belong to God and I have stuff, everything I have on him. That's why anybody that's trying to teach you don't tithe and don't give your money to the church and don't do this and don't do that. But they want you to support whatever they're doing. Number one, miss me. That's number one, miss me. Miss me on telling me how to treat my God. That's like another man telling you, don't treat your wife with respect. You the head of your house, man. Shoot. You tell her what it is, and if she don't do it, man, boffle one time. He crazy. And you stupid if you the preacher shouldn't be calling people names, and my wife gonna get on me about that, but that's all right. I'm gonna take this last one. You stupid if you do. That's a dumb man. How you want me to disrespect my wife and be loyal to you, but she support everything I do and you don't? That's a bad. Back to the text, Bruce. Back to your subject. Back to your subject. All these are processes of being a good steward. When you learn how to be in the world but not of the world, be separate, says the Lord, you're learning how to steward your lifestyle. You're learning how to govern how you live and how you behave. God holds us accountable for this life we live before other people. And to you that say, well, that's just why I stay by myself. Shoo, I stay alone. I don't work. Yeah, ain't nobody got to be watching me. I ain't God anyway. You selfish. And that act is one of foolishness. I know you don't like me now. That's all right. I came with my own amen. Amen, preacher. Keep preaching.
Amen.
So at the end of the day, none of us was put in this world to be alone. We are all here for a purpose, and that purpose is not for our own self-righteousness or our own self-advancement. There's nothing wrong with you doing things to better who you are and to have a better life and all of that, but you do it so that you can pass that on to others. What are you saying, brother preacher? What I'm saying to you, I have never in my life see an apple tree eat its own apple. I never seen an orange tree eat its own orange tree. Y'all know I'm from Florida. I never seen a peach, a plum tree eat its own fruit. I had a customer that had these like some type of cherry dates that grew on her tree, and it would get full and the leaves would start dropping, leaning, and they would fall, and if it wasn't for me cutting it up with the mower, they were still on the ground around the tree, not being absorbed or nothing. Because the tree don't eat itself. It is there for the benefit of others. And you and I, my brother, my sister, my friend, my neighbor, my enemy, you don't have to be an enemy. You can become a friend. You can be part of the family. All you got to do is join Christ. The fruit tree don't eat itself. So if nature knows that it's there for the benefits of others, what's wrong with us? As a steward of my body, I realize what I don't know not only can hurt me, but it won't help nobody else. I want to ask you the question. There was two brothers, Cain and Abel. And it had something to do with their offering, their giving. And one brother killed the other brother because their giving wasn't right. It wasn't acceptable to God. The question is, why did Cain kill Abel? Why? Why did he kill him not for acts that was against him, but an act towards God that had nothing to do with him? To all of us that say we are people of faith, why are we killing one another? Why we are assassinating one another's character? I don't have to kill you. I don't have to attack you. I can encourage you. I can pray for you. But at the end of the day, Ecclesiastes tells us we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of our life. Because God is going to judge every secret thing, every known thing. He's going to examine it to whether it's good or whether it's evil. And the choices that we make, we have those under control today. All those things are a process of being a steward of God's property. You are God's property. As being a steward of God's property, you are responsible for being an administrator. But could the issue be one of cruise control? You know, cruise control is an electric or electronic device in a motor vehicle or your car or your motorcycle that can be switched on to maintain a select constant speed without using the accelerator. Some of us, we get on this course of life and we get hooked on this or hooked on that, and we set the cruise control volume. And for us, everything is right there at that same pace. And anything that's not at that same pace, either we miss it or don't understand it, don't agree with it, there's an issue. Why? Because although cruise control can be a very relaxing thing and controlling thing on long trips and long journeys, but however, you and I must understand that even though we're on cruise control, we still must keep our hand on the steering device. That means my hands must remain on the wheel. I know Carrie Underwood saying the song, "Jesus, take the wheel." But in reality, your hand, sir, your hand, mister, your hand, ma'am, your hand Miss Lady, you're the one in control of the vehicle called your life. The Holy Spirit can control through you, but your hands must be on it. Because there's times in our lives where we have to disengage the cruise control because there are roadblocks ahead. There's time when we have to slow down. I use cruise control going from here to Somerville because Somerville have cops all up and down there waiting to give people tickets. So when I set cruise control, it is to ensure that I don't go too fast. But I still must monitor and pay attention in the direction I'm going. My hands must remain on the wheel. I know some of us, well, I'm going to live life on autopilot. You know, I'm going to just trust God and let it be. Well, autopilot is really automatic pilot. It's also called, you know, that autopilot. It's a device that automatically maintains an aircraft on its present. An autopilot informs actions without conscious of thought, being of tiredness or shock or familiarity with the task of being performed. So in other words, the autopilot can fly to a particular, in a particular destination for a pilot. So if he's tired, he can close his eyes. But there's times where turbulence happens. And no matter how tired the pilot is, yes, sometimes he has a co-pilot, but if both of them tired, ooh-wee. So there's times still in turbulence where the autopilot has to come off. And manual control must kick in. You know, we say trust God. But while we're trusting God, let's keep our hands on the steering apparatus called our life choices. Let's maintain control of what we're doing, what we're saying, why we're doing it. Let's ensure that we're on our proper destination, because if I'm going up north but my instrument says south, it just may be, I'm in the wrong direction. So we must examine our lives. Stewardship is an active participation. Stewardship is one of work. Stewardship is one of involvement. Adam was placed in the garden to dress it and to keep it. He was a steward of the garden. He didn't own it, even though he had dominion in it, authority. You and I have dominion over our children as long as they're under our roof. Stop trying to be friends with your children. Be their parent. The word says train up a child. That means you train them up. And how you train them matters. Don't let them just grow up, because the world will train them if you don't. Now, that goes on, and more teachers, different parents have different ways of teaching. True enough, there are multiple ways to teach. But this is not a lesson in how you teach. It's just one of that you do teach. Teaching deals with reaching. Reaching deals with understanding. And yes, at the end of the day, those children like you and I come to a point in their life where they must make a decision to follow your teaching or to follow their own mind. And what we don't like, any parent that have a child, we don't like when they follow their own mind. if we taught them something differently. But at the end of the day, if God allowed you and I to make choices, so we must learn to let them make their choices. We don't abandon them in their choices. We're right there to remind them there's still a better way. And while your body still draws breath, there's still an opportunity for you to change. We're not just there for our children, but we should be there for one another as well. I pray that wherever you are, that this message bless you. Amen. If I read the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 27 and 28 in the New King James, it says, "Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel." God is in the midst of his people. He said, "I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." God has put a focus on the relationship. So now to focus on me in a relationship as it relates, you must have gifts. You have gifts. It's okay to learn or to lean on others. You may be gifted. You may have certain things. But we learn from one another. Our dreams help young men to see visions. Young men see the things that we dream of. God's spirit being poured out upon all flesh means God's spirit is poured out upon sons and daughters. That means, man, she may have something that you don't have at this moment. Let her get it out, and vice versa. We must understand that seasons change. And because seasons change, so must we change. In the wintertime, I had on a coat. When summertime comes, if I be wearing the coat, the same coat in the wintertime, you will be able to say, something wrong with that fella. Because the season has changed. Let's recognize the season in which God has each one of us in. How we communicate the season helps. Sometimes I'm in a season where I need help. But if I never tell you I need help, then how would you know? But maybe it's because you have never shown me a season where you can be trustworthy. Maybe you have had a season where every time somebody tells you something, you tell everybody else. Allow that season to change. Learn how to hold on what you need to hold on to. Focusing on self-care as you develop who you are in God. Make sure you take care of your body. Make sure you take your medicine. Make sure you take your vitamin. Make sure you exercise. Make sure you read the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you study the Word of God. Okay, it's okay for me time. Your time. Husband and wives, there's some time my wife don't need me nowhere near her. Not because I'm a bad influence or good influence. There's some time where she just need to be just between her and the Lord. Brothers, the whole phrase man cave came about by us getting to a place where you get the man cave. Mm-hmm. Because if you're trying to do this, that, and make everything happen, there's a time and there's a time in your life you need to escape away from the noise.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that self-reflection, if you don't take care of your body, you're going to run down. And you can't, you know, I'm going to say this to help somebody. Now, dude, when you got married, you were 155 pounds, and now you 255. And when y'all got married, she was 125, and now she's 225. You can't be fussing at her. Tell my phone, she out of shape and she ain't like she used to be. And you ain't, mister. You can't be sitting there talking about your wife, talking bad about your wife because she's not what she used to be. Well, I'm still, you know, I still look good. Man, you on 12 different medicines because you ain't taking care of your body. But you're fussing at her about taking care of hers. Now, when you can't say amen, you're supposed to say ouch. That's what that means. And then the preacher keep on going. So we have to take care of ourselves, men. Women, you too. You know, so taking care of yourself, let God know that you value what he gave you. See, he gave you. You are a gift in this world. And you value you first. And the more you value you, the more others will too. Value your knowledge. Value your understanding. Value your clarity. But don't expect for me to value because of a title.
Mm-hmm.
Because your title means nothing if your character don't change to meet it.
Mm-hmm.
You call yourself a child of God, stop cussing everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
You call yourself the servant of the Most High, stop mistreating everyone that don't meet your standard.
Come on here.
I know we don't like teachings like this, but this has to, we got to we have to ask the question, why people are not coming to church? The word of God ain't changed. So if it ain't the word of God, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Or me and you. Have we changed? You think about a restaurant that had a good name. They called the Steakhouse. And everybody know them for the steak. But you go and you order your steak, and they bring it back, and it ain't what you ordered. And then you waited a whole hour. You were like, in your mind, you're thinking, if you're a steakhouse, the one thing that you're supposed to know how to cook is a steak. So you say you're a Christian, the one thing you need to know how to cook. Yeah, I don't even talk to me. That's all right. Anyway, so we must have that self-stewardship. Amen.
Amen.
We must reflect on how we choose everything. Reflect. Single people, reflect on how you choose your spouse.
Amen.
Know where you are in God and where you're going. You know, ain't no sense of you saying, ooh, he make the right amount of money. He this size, he that size. Ooh, you know, he got a little rough edges on it, but I believe the Lord can help me make him change. And then you marry him anyway. And you wondering what's wrong. You should have let God finish.
Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. That's all right. That's all right. I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm gonna leave it alone. I'll stay on purpose. You know, staying on purpose is a stewardship responsibility. You know, when you have a job and you go on your job and you check in for work, there's an assignment for you that day. And let's use something simple. You the fry cook. Well, if every time all the orders is being held up because the fries are not coming up in time, obviously the fry cook is not cooking on time. That means he's not paying attention to his job. Well, it's just so many orders. Well, drop an extra basket, mister. Well, I'm not saying, you know, well, no, you're not saying anything. You're not doing your assignment. For 5 minutes, the grease been over there by itself. Ain't nothing dropped. Well, when you finish, you're still not doing your assignment. We must ask ourselves, are we doing our assignment? When we look in our community and we see all the different things that's going wrong, we have to ask the question, am I doing my assignment, Lord? Why? Because if I'm not doing my assignment, that means those that need to be saved, those that need to be delivered, those that need to hear a word, those that need to be prayed for, those that need to be encouraged, those that need to be built up, those that need to be properly educated, those that need this, that, and the other, and I have those things, but I have not made myself available. All I've done is took my one talent and dug it in the ground and buried it. Jesus called that person a wicked and slothful person. Said, you wicked and lazy. I don't know a worse combination. Yeah, excuse me. So know where you are in God. Know where you are in your relationship with God. Know what you need to work on. These are things for us to be mindful of as we grow in the grace of God, as we grow in the knowledge of God. Okay. So how we focus on our personal relationship matters. So you have a gift, and it's okay to learn another one. Why? Because you want to be helpful to the kingdom. You must understand that seasons change. How you communicate that season matters. It helps or it hinders. You know. We must learn to focus on self-care. That deals with your hygiene. You can't keep hollering at people, tell the Lord yes.
Tell the Lord yes.
And your breath. y'all ain't gonna talk to me. That's all right.
Amen.
All of these things matter. It matters. It matters so very much that we represent God in a good way, in a better way. You got a church house? Clean the bathrooms. Make sure they're fresh. Make sure they're well kept. Make sure the equipment works. Let me put it that way. Why? Because if you have long services, the people gonna have a need, and that's gonna be an issue. And that will determine whether they come back. Greet people at the door. Don't use mean greeters. Use people that have cheerful and wonderful dispositions about themselves. Amen. Self-stewardship. We must govern ourselves. You know, if somebody say, what church you go to? And they say it with attitude, don't answer them. Because as soon as you answer that question, that's the church they ain't going to. And they're going to tell their friends and their family don't go to that church neither. Because they're going to associate your bad behavior with your church pastor and your church organization. No, I'm just talking one brother to another brother or sister in the Lord. Let us represent God better. This is stewardship. Paul told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is a reasonable service, not a hard thing. If you're saved, be saved. Live saved. Be holy. If you ain't, keep working on it. Keep working on it. Love you with the love of Christ. I think I done wasted enough of your time. You ready to go watch the ball game or whatever it is that you want to watch on the television. I haven't been watching much television on Sunday. I got another service to go to in a little bit. And a friend of mine's church has started on the evening time. And so this the Lord's day, not his hour. And I've been thankful that the Lord allowed me to be able to travel and to go to the different services and to do what I do. I thank God for this program that gives me opportunity to speak to you wherever you may be. And this is my prayer today that something that was said, will bless your spirit. I know I said a whole lot. I'm guilty of setting up a buffet. One of these days, I'm gonna learn how to give a one course meal. You know, I'm gonna try to do just a good soup where everything is just in that one bowl, and I'm gonna try. I don't know when, but we'll get there. God bless you. I love you with the love of Christ. You're in the hands of those who are in charge of the program for today. Thank you so very much.
Amen. That was a good message, Pastor Bonnet. And I just wanted to say I really, really enjoyed that. And talking about, once again, grace and all that good stuff. And the real fun part was kind of reminded me of what's coming up on, you was talking about everything being in the basket. Kind of reminds me of what we're planning for our Ranger Bill episode, and this is going to be kind of funny. You guys are all going to be thinking, well, whose are we talking about? Because a lot of folks may have this. The Ranger Bill episode coming up this coming Wednesday on the children's program, the title is The Deadly Laundry Basket.
Oh, wow.
You might say that of your wife's laundry that goes in there. Or the missus might say that of yours.
I ain't going to talk about the laundry basket. See, you know, husband and wife, we know our boundaries. So I'm going to leave that. I'm going to let somebody else talk about that.
You know, when those stinky socks get in there, it could be pretty deadly.
Somebody's going to be tonight.
Yeah, man. But I won't tell you what they're talking about with Ranger Bill. They're not talking about the smelly clothes. I'll put it that way. You'll have to check it out Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Amen.
Eastern to find out what he's really talking about.
Program 102.
It's on Station 2, and it's at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you so very much.
All right. Anybody else with some takeaways?
Give me
as
you.
As the mind, even though I came
give
in
me.
Late, that was a good message.
Go ahead, honey.
Amen. I heard two people, so I'm going to go with the last voice I heard, which I think was Sister Emily's. I think that
we
was
just
Sister
heard Emily, but Evangelist Clayton as well.
So Sister Emily, say what you said, and then we go to Evangelist Clayton, because she about to do what I asked her to do from the beginning, but the Lord took me a different way.
What I said, even though I came in late on your message, because I had some issues going on over here, what I did hear of your message was a very good message, and I needed that today.
But to God be the glory. Thank you so much.
With that, I'm complete.
Amen.
Amen. Give
Amen.
Me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. Hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. Hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, give me you, because I hope I'm not too late. Hallelujah. Pastor Bondi, I want to tell you thank you. You was all up in my grill today because you confirmed something that we was already discussing before I even signed on. We had already discussed what you brought to fourth hand today. Amen. Yes, to God be the glory. So I just give God the glory. I give God the praise. Amen. Because we can't serve two masters. We're going to either love one and we're going to either hate the other. But you can't have it the world way. Amen. You can't have a Burger King kind of way because we don't serve a Burger King kind of God. You can't have it your way. You're going to either love one or hate the other. Give me you, Lord, and everything else can wait. My life, that I look back over my life and I tell God thank you for where he has brought me from and the change that he has made in me. But that is a personal thing. You have to make up in your mind to who you're going to serve. You got to make up in your mind because Pastor Bundy can't do it for Evangelist Clayton. Evangelist Clayton can't do it for Pastor Bundy. Evangelist Clayton can't do it for the Six Eyes Radio Network, number station one and station two. Can't do it. We have to have a well-made-up mind because, see, when we leave him, mama can't go, daddy can't go, sister and brother can't go, husband can't go, significant others can't go, children can't go. You got to take this journey alone. Amen. It is a personal thing. For God that I live and for God that I'm going to die. You got to let go and let God have his way. I said, give me you, Lord. Sometimes it seems like the roads get rough. Seems like you in it. Amen. By yourself. But he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Mommy, daddy, sisters, and brothers never leave you, but I'll never forsake you. And where I am, there you may be also. But we got to have a well-made-up mind. Amen. See, one thing for sure and two things we know. Amen. You got to be sure and very sure. Amen. To whom you going to serve. You got to be sure and very sure because you got to let go of them, amen, that will hinder you and hold you back. You got to let go and let God while you still trying to hold on to that old baggage, the things that you used to do, you shouldn't be doing no more. The places that you used to go, you shouldn't go them no more. The friend that you used to have, you shouldn't have them no more, but you can have your friend. But, amen, those friends have to come at a different distance. Amen, because if you say that I love God today and you're in the world tomorrow or you're in the world tonight, amen, to God be glory, there's a twist in that. There is a twist in that. You can't have it both ways. Amen. And then when he come, he said, if you're on the rooftop, you may as well stay up there. Don't come down. If you're in the field, stay in the field. Don't come out of the field. If you're in the club, you stay in the club. Amen. Or whatever that you're doing, you stay doing what you're doing. Because, one thing he said, every eye shall see and every knee shall bow. But then if he tell you when he coming, you'll be trying to get it right. Amen. To God be the glory. So don't get caught with your work undone. It's time to line up and get our work right. Line up and get it right with him. Because everything else is going to fall into place. What God has for you, it is for you. And I know without a doubt that he'll bring you out. See, God will put somebody in your life. He'll put those in your life that's going to push you and encourage you. And if you ain't had no rain in your life and you ain't failed, then you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself because there is a spiritual accident is about to occur. So we need to check ourselves. Amen. To God be the glory. All fun and no Jesus. It ain't about it. If you don't give God what is due to him, because he makes it possible for you to get up in the morning. Your heart is beating right on time. He makes it possible for us to inhale and exhale. Amen. Man think they're doing it on their own. But it is him that makes a way for you to get to those jobs, to pay your bills. It's him that makes a way for you to have food on your table. Amen. To God be the glory. It is all about Christ Jesus, your way maker, your miracle worker, your promise keeper, and your light in the darkness. Now, you can't serve one. Amen. You got to come out of the darkness into the marvelous light because he don't dwell in darkness. Amen. So I just thank you for the message today. To God be the glory. Pastor Bonnie, you know I love you all, and there's absolutely nothing you all can do about Evangelist Clean loving on you all. Six Eyes Radio Network, y'all know y'all are my heart, and I thank God Almighty for his divine connection. Y'all pray my continuous in the Lord as I be the bold soldier that Christ is calling in these last and evil days to tell what thus said the Lord. Some don't want to hear, but he said, you keep telling it. You keep telling it. You keep preaching it, and you keep running. Pray my continuous strength in the Lord. Praise God for you, Lady Barney, and Sister Emily. Praise God for you all.
Amen. Evangelist Clayton,
There is one thing we can do about your love towards us. There's one thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's love you in return.
Amen. Praise
that's
God.
One thing we can do. We can love you in return. Amen. Yes, amen. Anything else is sin. We can love you in return.
Yes, sir. God bless
because
you, Pastor.
We definitely love you. Amen. We love you. Amen.
Yes.
I told myself, if you don't love me, you better not die. Amen. Why? I say, because if I'm serving the Lord and doing what he told me to do and you don't love me and you don't love him, amen.
That's right.
So you're back.
That's right. That's right. And we won't meet on the other side either. That's for sure.
You better not die if you try to get to heaven. You better hold on till your love change. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I just had to say that to you. Bless your woman of God. Amen. I don't know who this for, but I hear this in the spirit realm. The drought is over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I receive it.
All I know is I heard the drought.
Thank you, God.
The
drought.
Thank you.
I claim that in the name of Jesus.
That was a season. That drought. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I don't know who be to hear, Lord, rain on me.
Rain on me.
Let your spirit rain, Lord God.
Yes, sir.
The light of rain. Come on down.
Your rain of word. Rain on me, God.
Rain on us, oh God. Rain again. Thank you, Jesus. Pour out your spirit, Lord God. As you allow the spring to bring new life, Lord God. Let it do it in the name of Jesus. I really just don't know, but I just hear it in my spirit. The drought is over. Glory to God. Praise God. Walk in it.
Thank you, God.
You made it through that season. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you made it through your drought. Thank you, made it through the trouble. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Y'all just have to refuse the preacher.
Glory to God. Anybody else got to take away? Glory to God. Amen.
To God be the glory who's ahead of my life. I just thank God today, Lord, for God to give me life that I live and not die, and I can declare his works on today. I thank you for his grace and mercy that renews day by day. I thank God for the word that God has given you, Pastor Bonnet, to deliver the word today that you told us, says the Lord, today, that we do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I take that, if I take away, that my mind shall be renewed from oppression, depression, that the devil tried to come and try to kill, sin, and destroy my life through my mind, through oppression and depression. But God have delivered me, for I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me, for greater than he that's in me, that he that's in the world. That I do not be in his conceptual will, but I be in his perfect will. For I just thank God that I conform to his word, that I'll trust in his word, and I will stand on his word, and I stand and believe by faith that God is the Almighty God, that I have to fear God today and keep on fearing God and keeping his commandments. If I keep his commandments and do what God tells me to do, then that being his perfect will, that I will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So I have to fear God and do his commandments and do what God has told me to do. And I pray that God's will be done. I thank God, and I am complete today. Thank God for Sister Ives Ministry. Thank God for Pastor Bonnet and everyone that's on this radio station. I love you all, and you be blessed. I am complete.
Amen. Amen. I love you, too.
Amen. Anyone else with us? Take away or comment.
Well, the whole method was great for me. I can't take away one part. If anyone missed it, I encourage you to listen back in the rewind. But just a great method. Like you said, you gave a buffet, so everything was good and hot. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. And just for our listeners, the Monday after Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we will have a popcorn revival. To those of you that don't know what it is, tune in on Station 1 at 8 p.m. Central Time. And you will be part of a popcorn revival. We encourage you to either make or buy or purchase or pop some kind of way your favorite brand of popcorn and join us on that Motivational Monday. If we have a popcorn revival is coming to you. If you need to be revived within your spiritual walk, you want to be encouraged, and you want to be a part of that program, amen.
Amen.
I'm encouraging you to bring along with you your one favorite text in the Bible. And don't nobody choose Jesus wept unless you got a whole lot to go with why he wept. But we'll see you then. God bless you.
Amen. And you are allowed to eat popcorn on air. I want to hear the crunching. I want to hear the enjoyment of the popcorn. So you are allowed to eat live on air.
Just don't be, please.
Yeah, just the crunching. Just the crunching.
Popcorn with some cashews in it.
Oh, Lord.
What'd she say?
She said some poppycock with the cashews.
Oh, no. That's popcorn abuse. You and my father would have got along great. My father loved fiddle faddle, poppycock, and crunch and munch.
Incoming
yeah.
From Andorra.
Yeah. Now that's to me. That's popcorn abuse.
Or pecan. Or
oh no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Popcorn overload. Come out. Overload your popcorn.
Yeah. All I need is a little bit of salt and butter. That's it.
Hey, man, do anybody put hot sauce on their popcorn?
Oh, no.
I know people put hot sauce on their potato chips.
Janet Jackson does.
I'm just asking.
You put that on your chips and popcorn?
No, ma'am. If I want my popcorn hot, I use cayenne pepper.
What?
Because I want my popcorn dry. I want my popcorn wet. It's going to get wet when you open your mouth.
I have put it on the potato chips before. And the popcorn.
Like that. Lady Bunny, I don't like that. I just give me some old plain, natural, no salt potato chips.
Yes, ma'am. Well, my mom, she liked the vinegar, salt and vinegar potato chips, and she would put pickle juice on her potato chips.
I cannot hardly breathe. I can't hardly breathe when I eat them. So the thing, take your breath. Ma'am. No. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know they actually have a potato chip called dill pickle potato chips out by the Delayed Potato Chip Company?
I love them.
I bet that they are so strong too, lady. I bet they are so strong.
You open the bag and you get blast like somebody spilled pickle juice on you.
Yeah, no, I have cold pickle juice on my potato chip.
You pour pickle juice on your potato chips, Lady Bunny?
Yes, yes, ma'am. And my mom does it, too. She pour pickle juice on her potato chips.
Lord, how much
well, they get soggy.
It's soggy.
I know. Just a little bit. It's like the salt and vinegar and a dill pickle potato chip. That's why they made dill pickle potato chips.
Lady Vernon, I ain't gonna put you down because I done had some potato chips. You know, and seen that they put a whole box of salt in the bag of potato chips, and I have to rinse them off.
Oh my goodness. That was soggy potato chips.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want no soggy potato chip, and I don't want no soggy popcorn. That make it feel like it's coming out of somebody else's mouth into yours.
No, I will not eat crushed chips. I cannot stand crushed chips. If the chips are crushed, I won't eat them.
I think that was Missionary Lockley trying to say something, Mr. Six.
Oh, hey.
Hello, Ms. Lockley.
Yes, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, sir?
All right. I just want to say that I enjoyed the word, and I appreciate what the Lord is doing. God bless you all, and keep on doing what you're doing, and be encouraged. And we love you.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Love you too.
Love you too.
Yes, sir.
He sounds like a very distinguished gentleman.
You'll
be surprised that the words of our true elders, those that have lived an experienced life,
you'll
be surprised how at the edge of the seat, those
yes,
that are listening get on just to hear a few words of encouragement.
Yes, sir.
Because I can listen to you talking about the Lord and you've been saved 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But I really want to hear what you got to say that don't walk with the Lord 50 years, 60
Ooh,
years.
Glory. Come on here.
Matter of fact, if you want my undivided attention, if somebody that's in their 80s and 90s, they're talking about God, I want to hear every word. I want to hear the syllable. I want to hear the breath between
the
words.
That's right.
Y'all ain't talking to me.
That's right.
There's something about God's anointing that flows. And you got to be one that a teacher, a preacher, someone that's endowed in the word that understands that God breathes through one word and the next word.
That's right.
The space between one word and the next word is opportunity for God to put a whole thought concerning your life.
Yeah.
And so you're listening because revelation have a way of coming at the tail end of that word and writing in on the next word. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
But if you ever listen to the seasoned saints, the seasoned saints that told us years ago, serving the Lord will.
Hey, y'all.
Hey,
y'all.
Come on
down. Serving the Lord will. And somebody was talking, they weren't talking about the prosperity gospel like these prosperity preachers are talking, naming, claiming, and all of that. No.
That's Reverend Ike. That's Reverend Ike.
Hold on. Change is coming. And you hear this, and they'll spend the next 10 minutes telling you, hold on, let that go. Hold on, let that go. Hold on, and you in your mind you're trying to figure out what you want to do. But while they're saying one for the other, all of a sudden God began to show you a list within your spirit. things that you need to hold on to. He'll show you the ones that you need to let go. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Calm down, please. Calm down. Calm down.
Shut up in that bone.
Calm down.
Thank you, Jesus.
So it's something.
Hallelujah.
About the season, thanks. You may not have the strength to holler like some of the younger, but it's something about when they lift their leg up. they had to come in using the cane, or they walked in real slow. But it's something about when the spirit began to move in the atmosphere of God, and they lift up their leg and say, "I remember when God showed up."
Hallelujah! Yes, Lord.
At the end of service.
Yes,
because
Lord.
We so quick to walk out of church that we didn't understand sometimes the Spirit of the Lord really didn't bless folks until after the offering, until after the choir was done, until after the preacher was finished. It was then when the Spirit of the Lord stirred up and folks got healed. It was in the devotional prayer, the dismissal prayer, where peace, where they thought they were going to break in your house at the house, and the police pulled up by that right time. Y'all ain't going to tell me. There was some things that happened in the prayer at the end of the service.
Come on now.
Somebody to come over there and bless you. And they had what I call the slide ministry. They shook your hand and they slid a $100 bill in it. And God knew you had that $80 bill that was due. But your mind said, "I'm going to leave early today." But the Lord said, "Hold your seat. Glory to God." And you were getting ready to leave. And at the end, after the prep, Lord help me today. After the prep.
Thank you, God.
Somebody walked over to you as you were walking out the door and slid some money to you. Glory to God.
Yes. I know that. Hallelujah.
Somebody said, "You been on my mind. You been on my heart. I put this in the car. This a feature. I bought it. I don't know why, but they still got the tag on it. But somehow or another, I bought it two sides too big. I think this was meant for you." That's something about staying to the end. Glory to God. And the old folks used to say, "I'm going to run on to see what the end is going to be."
Hallelujah.
Y'all have to excuse me. Glory to God. Y'all just have to excuse me, please. Glory to God. Thank you. Let's just understand. Look, the power of the atmosphere for the saints. The glory to God. And what it is, when we talk about the men and women that serve in our country, we could, those seniors that spent a lifetime serving their country, we give them honor and respect. So much more we supposed to do for the saints of God that have been soldiering on the battlefield all their lives. Glory to God. No, don't say that, Kim. Don't say that. The vow are going to break out right here. Don't say that, because we spent an hour on saying, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord." We were saying that song till you couldn't sing it no more. Glory to God.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
And we sung that song during testimony service. See, back when we had church like that, that song would break out in testimony service. Glory to God. They'll sing that for 10, 15 minutes and then testify about how God showed up out of nowhere. Out of nowhere how God showed up and blessed them. See, we have them HMOs and all these medical plans that they have today. All we had was a bottle of oil and some prayer. Glory to God. That's all we had back then. It was a bottle of oil and some prayer.
That's it.
Hallelujah. And Almighty God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you,
God. Yep.
Hallelujah.
The seem like sometimes the more God bless us, the dumber we act. I'm sorry.
You better come on here. I'm sorry.
We got more than we ever had. We got more than we ever had in life, and we still act like we ain't got nothing.
We sure do.
God has been good to us.
Hallelujah. Be good.
Make sure you share this show. Share this show. Check that Facebook box. Share this show with your friends.
I can remember a time trying to figure out what the Wefa Church. But it was only a few things to decide from. It really wasn't a decision.
Amen.
You were black. You were white shirt. Black pants, or you have some tan pants, or you have some blue pants, but you still had the white shirt.
That's right.
You may have two ties.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to figure out what to wear, and if I got four the same color of this, four the same color of that, four the same color of that.
Because what you say?
Thank you for the
church ain't white.
Thank you for the overflow. Thank you for the
overflow. And I still find myself saying, Lord,
amen.
What to do?
Hey, amen. Praise God.
God been good to us, y'all.
He's good.
Yes, he has.
He's good to us.
God has been good to us.
Running over on that sofa.
I'm telling you. I was stuck because I almost gave y'all another message today because on the and I made change my message for tomorrow night. That's why I tell y'all what I'm talking about tomorrow night because it's still on me because Jesus was talking in the synagogue and the folk he had to ask the folk is today a day to do good. Or to do evil, to heal or to destroy.
You better come out.
And what's strange about it is, in today's time, we still have to ask that question.
Amen. Amen.
Because folk don't want you blessed like they act like they say they is. They say they want you to be blessed, but. It's the wrong time. They don't want to leave their comfort zone. They don't want you blessed unless they can want that can bless you. The problem they had with Jesus was that they couldn't heal nobody, but he was. So they was always looking for a reason to down his ministry.
Amen.
Because God was using him in ways that they say they who say they were serving God. See, you tell me you're a person of faith, but you can't even pray for me, and I'm saying I got a headache. You got to know why I got to have a headache.
Exactly.
How long my headache been hanging? What side is it? You got to know all these details about a headache.
Exactly.
Instead of just saying, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood that washes, the blood that covers right now from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. I rebuke you, headache, right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority right now in the name of Jesus that you're no longer going to press or bow my brother, my sister. Loose him.
I felt somebody just got free.
Somebody just got free.
In the name of Jesus.
Somebody just got free.
In the name of Jesus.
Somebody just got free. Because when
the
power of God moving, everything that's bound begin to let go. As Paul and Silas, they prayed, and at midnight, the shackles began. The jail began to shake. The shackles came loose.
Hallelujah.
I ain't trying to escape. God just don't want me bound. And if God don't want me bound, who are you to try to keep binding me up?
Say that.
Lord,
All right, Pastor Funny. Now you're gonna start something. You're gonna start. You start something.
Why are you still trying to beat on me when the Lord done set me free?
That's right. That's right. Why are you trying to bounce? Why are you trying to bounce?
My God, my.
Praise
I'm
God.
Trying to behave, y'all. I'm trying. But I done got me way down in my toes. Y'all ain't going to talk to me.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Set us off your feet and let you dance.
Huh?
Just want to praise him. Just want to praise him.
Yes, Lord.
Shackles off your feet and let him dance. I just want to praise him.
I want to praise him. Yes,
I
want to
praise him. I want to praise him. Take the shackles off your feet.
When
you better dance.
Dance.
You better dance. All right. You better dance. Take the shackles off your feet and you better dance. Dance for the Lord. Hallelujah. Do like David.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Only on the Eyes Radio Network.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you all for praising God.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't forget, we still got to get the Bloodhound of Scriptures in while we're in the basement.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm ready anytime y'all is.
Go right ahead. Pastor
Bob. All right.
I was going to sing with you before. Anyway, let's get to the Bloodhound of Scriptures together.
You. What? Oh, imagine. Oh, my Lord.
All right, let's see if your snippers are in good shape. So here we go. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now if we only knew who was bearing this record, we'd have an idea where it's found. And we'll hear that once again. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And they saw and bear record that this was the Son of God. So we'll hear this one more time for our listeners' sake. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
John 1:34.
Amen.
That is correct. John 1:34.
Look at those scholars. Look at those scholars.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You all won a free cup of coffee and a donut from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
And I
had two bloodhounds hot on that trail today.
Yes, sir. Pastor Bonnie got me hungry today, so I want my cup of coffee and donut.
Good job.
Hey, you better do it, Six, because I got to treat my bloodhounds just right. You know what I mean?
All right, so I'm sending $2. I'm sending $2. Everybody, send me your Cash App. I'm sending you all $2 to get your cup of coffee and your donut of your choice.
All right. Amen. Well, let's see if their snippers are just as good next week. Because here's the verse they got to find.
Okay.
And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you.
This is much better than saying this bud's for you. Amen. We'll hear that again.
And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you.
All right, so you priests, listen up. There's a commandment for you, and we'll hear this one more time for our listeners' sake.
And now, you priests, this commandment is for you.
And that's what you got to snip out by next week. Amen.
Missionary Wolfgang, is it saying every treat? Can you
priest? Every priest. O ye priests.
Okay.
This commandment is mm-hmm. for you.
Okay. 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 Thank you.
That's your first commandment.
O ye priests, this mm-hmm. commandment is for you.
Amen.
That's your first proof.
Amen.
And, as I said there, hey, it's better than saying this bud's for you, this commandment's for you.
mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So you all will be getting your, so Mr. and Mrs. Lockley, you'll be getting $6 for the both of you, First Lady Bonnet. And Pastor Bonnie, you'll be getting $6 for your coffee. Mikhail, you'll be getting $3. And the Wolfgangs will be getting $6. And Emily will be getting $3. So we take care of you here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen. Hey, you forgot about Evangelist Clayton.
Oh, and Evangelist Clayton. Evangelist Clayton. I'm not, mm-hmm. not my bad. $3 for you.
You got how much for me?
Amen. Huh? Mm-hmm.
How much you got for me?
$3.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, for your donut and coffee.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And also, I know we're talking about the coffee and donuts. For the ones, if a husband had to let me know to say the ones that's on the line, the ones that is always here on the line, their birthdays. Well, anybody's birthdays are in March, that's on the line, not, you know,
amen.
Any birthdays this month. No birthdays.
I don't
okay.
think so that's on the line right now.
The only birthday this month is Amber's. Only birthday this month is Amber's.
Oh, yeah, it's
tomorrow.
Amber. Okay, Amber.
Tell Amber hello from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Her birthday is tomorrow. Her birthday
she
is tomorrow.
You here?
All right now.
You here?
How you doing?
You here?
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday, Amber. Happy birthday to you. All right.
All right.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
Her birthday is tomorrow.
Happy right. blessed birthday.
Now, you know what, Amber? Amber, I got it. So what time do you get up in the morning, Amber?
That's a good question.
Just
after 10
in the
afternoon.
Well,
it depends.
I got
it.
Okay.
It depends on what day it is.
Okay. So, Wolfgang? Wolfgang?
We're going to...
Don't worry. I got a surprise for you. Don't worry about it. You're going to
love
it.
God.
Well, hopefully she'll be on the program with me tomorrow. Depends on what her and brother do for tomorrow. But hopefully she'll be back before I head out to work and on the program. Tomorrow. So
yeah, I don't know where Wolfgang went. Wolf, are you there?
He there. Might
yeah,
be
I'm right
mute.
There just waiting for everybody to slow down enough so I can jump in.
Well, tomorrow I need your golden voice to sing Amber happy birthday. And I want you to act like you're
right.
on stage at Madison Square Garden. I need the longest happy birthday ever.
All right.
Okay.
You're going to love it, Amber. You are going to love it. Amen.
Girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We pull out all the stops here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
and some of them going to run into a tree.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
Oh, Lord.
No tree.
Mm-mm, no tree.
Jesus.
Amber said no tree.
Amen.
Somebody
you
figured
know,
that one out. I know Pastor Bonnie did.
I ain't going to say nothing. I,
You know what? And y'all, you and I
on the same page, so we gonna leave it at that.
You know, Amber, every you know, they look forward to their birthdays every year. It's January and September. They look forward to this.
Amen.
Yes.
Can't wait till your birthday.
Huh?
Can't wait till your birthday.
Where is it, Queen I?
June 24th.
Okay. Well, oh, that's my daughter's birthday.
Is it?
That is my that's my daughter's birthday.
And then my two grandchildren, their birthday 2 days after yours. Dale and Marquisa, theirs is June 26th. And then I have two that's before your birthday, June 17th and June 18th.
Our son Enoch's birthday is on the 17th.
Yes, ma'am. You told me. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. What is that?
Good guy.
Yeah.
No, they was doing October, November.
They wasn't working. They took off work. Do you realize our parents took off work to have us? You know, they went and took off work.
I was working. I don't know about y'all.
Well, you was working. You was working the overtime.
You know, I can't speak for most of you.
I don't have customers in the house.
Yeah. And Lady Bonnie,
you got the wrong one in the conversation.
I was
in labor and he went right back to work.
No, we're talking about baby, we ain't talking about the delivery. We're talking about the conception.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I picked up on it.
Baby, I knew that one went over your head that time. That's why I ain't saying that. I said, I just got quiet.
Oh, yeah.
That went over my head.
You have Missionary Lockley and Elder Lockley. They got, I think Missionary Lockley, your birthday was when?
January 30th.
And Elder Lockley.
We share the same birthday.
12.
We don't have to probably do, if, you know, I need to talk to everyone about, you know, that how we did with.
Reaching out.
What you say?
When is Elder Lockley's birthday?
January
30th.
Mine's January 30th, and Elder Lockley is September the 12th.
My cousin's birthday on the 12th.
You got it.
Birthday on somebody's birthday.
My wife know too many birthdays.
My birthday is July the 28th, Pastor Barnett.
My dad's on the 29th.
Look at that.
My birthday.
Go ahead.
Both my sister and my eldest son's birthday is this month. I tell folks like this. I know my number one. I know my wife's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the truth of the matter is, that's the only name. There's only two names in this world that I have to know.
Uh-huh.
One being Jesus, and the other one is Lakeisha Bonnet.
Yes, sir.
Because I know Jesus, I have peace. But if I ever forget Lakeisha, there would be no peace. So
I know it. What she say?
So the birthday that I need to remember is hers. I don't remember mine because I love me. I remember my children because I done bought enough stuff from them over the years. So it's still hard to forget.
Amen.
I know my sister, my brother, my mama, my baby sister.
and my godmama.
Yes.
Everybody else, all that I know is you have a birthday. And we tell God thank you in January 1 that you made it to a new year. So happy birthday, January 1. Then you made it to the new year. Amen. And that way I cover everybody that I don't miss nobody because
that's
I'm
right.
going to miss somebody. Amen.
Right.
Not intentionally. Amen. But I'm going to miss you. But I'm going to make sure if you listen to me at any point, you ain't going to forget me in September because I'm going to let you know from September 1st to September 30th.
You
and this my birthday month, not my birthday.
Pastor Bonnet.
Hi,
Six Eyes. I've been listening. Hi.
That's right.
Hi, Nicole.
I told him when I got over 50, I celebrate the whole month.
Hi, Bonnet.
Amen.
Pastor
when
Bonnet,
I get past 75, I'm
going to
celebrate the whole year.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Mama Six Eyes. Hi, Evangelist Clayton, the Lockleys, and
hello.
Emily, and Wolfman, and Ruthie.
Wolfman.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello there.
Mama Six Eyes. Now, when is my birthday?
He just caught it.
I just
Mama
got it.
Mama Six Eyes
yes.
is dead, wasn't she?
Well,
Mama Six Eyes is with the Lord, but we hear the divine
yes.
voice through.
I'm
yes.
up in heaven, but I'm up in heaven, everyone, but I love you all. I'm up here with husband, my daughter, and my son, and I'm listening. I listen every Sunday, Mama Six Eyes, and I told my son, keep that station going, so you all stay on them. I love you all. All right, Mama, love you too.
Love you too. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, Pastor Amen. Bonnet was the only one that, now she was Robert Tilton to the hilt. When she found out about Pastor Bonnet, Robert Tilton, who?
What?
Yeah.
I love the Robert Tilton too though. Yes I did.
Yeah, Pastor Bonnet became her pastor.
Yes. Yes.
She loved the
yes.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, sir.
Robert Tilton said
God said no, he
yes, he did.
Well, Mama Six Eyes and Evangelist Clayton love Pastor Bonnet enough for you as well too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes,
yeah, I'm just thankful the Lord allowed me to have some words to encourage his people.
Amen.
Amen. And I do my best to not just encourage, but to empower.
Amen.
Because, you know, it's a bad thing if you got your electric bill is paid. There's power coming down inside your house, but when you plug into a socket, you get no power.
Mm.
And a lot of times people are going to church, and they're plugging in, but they got no power.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's a sad testimony that your bills are paid, but you're plugging in and still can't get no power.
Can't get no power.
So at some point, the socket, the plug, the wire, the cord, something needs to change. If what's on the outside is in order, what's on the inside need to be in order too. Y'all ain't y'all catch that later. Y'all catch that later. If what's on the outside is right, then what's on the inside need to be right also.
Got to change your heart.
Amen. If there's power coming in, shouldn't there be power coming out? All of y'all got cell phones, and if you plug your phone, and you plug your phone up, and you come back an hour or two later,
and your plug and your phone still reading at 5%, something wrong. And you plug it up again and you wait another hour or two. And you pick up your phone, you think nothing about it, and you go off and you think your phone is fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you go to use your phone, and all of a sudden it cut off on you in the middle of a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And you knew you charged it up. You knew you had plugged in, but you got no power.
No power.
See, there's a message in that. You know, you'll find that in Judges. Around that chapter 16, you'll find out that Samson, that great man of God, that strong man of God, kept playing with his anointing, kept playing with the covering, kept bending his cord, kept bending his values, kept bending the wrong things, and he thought he was plugged in, but Delilah took him to the barber shop. Yeah. It was unlicensed, and so he lost everything.
Don't you cut my hair.
And when he heard the Philistines be upon you, he thought, and like most of us, you know, I go to church on Sunday, you know, and he thought when the enemy came against him, he thought he was going to shake himself as times before and win the battle. But he shook himself this time and found out that the Lord helped today was not with him.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you play church and you think you're being in power, but you're not being in power. You say you're plugged in, but you're really not plugged in. You're not getting the power. Amen. You'll shake yourself. Or something will shake you. And you'll find that you don't have no power, you know. And the Bible said that we can lay hands on the sick and the sick will be free. You know, the sick got happy because the devil feared them and was leaving folks and respected them. I heard the story about the sons of Stephen. And he said, I adjure thee by whom Paul preached, get out of him. And the devil said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who you? That's no power. That's somebody who thought they were plugged in, but it didn't have a connection. It's a sad thing. You're going to church or you're in an organization and you think you're talking to God, but you ain't plugged in like you should. Power coming down, but power ain't coming out. You're going to have to check your cord. Because that means something is not right. We have the power to lay hands on the sick. Today, 2024. Mm-hmm. That wasn't just then in biblical times. Healing is still available today. Deliverance is still available today. And when people teach differently, they teach a powerless God. I'm going to stop right there because that's food for thought. If God is, according to Malachi, the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he healed then, don't he heal now? If he delivered then, don't he deliver now? If he used people then, don't he still use people now? And look at what kind of people he used. He used people that was broken. He used people that did some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you are not too far gone for God to use you. I don't know who I'm talking to. Somebody need to hear that. I don't know. We still recording. We still online. Somebody who just connected. Yeah, this may be a month later after this broadcast. You just connected. That word was for you.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I got to get out of this. I got 4 minutes to get out this door, so I ain't late. Bye. Half phone will travel. I travel with a phone. Come on.
knock you out.
Of course I'm ready.
I love all of y'all. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of the Lord. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. And I'm done. I see you. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the, I'm just saying it to Clayton, take over. Of Jesus.
Amen. There is power. Power. Power in the name of the Lord. There is power. Power. Power in the name of the Lord. There's something about that name, Jesus. Something about that name, Jesus. Something about that name, sweet Jesus. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name of the Lord. There is something about the name. Something about that name. Something about that name of the Lord. There is power. Wonder-working power. Power in the name of the Lord. There is power. Power. Wonder-working power of the Lord. There is power. Power. Power in the name of the Lord. There is wonder-working power. Wonder-working power, wonder-working power of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Lord. Thank
God
you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God is
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. All right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Okay, I hear you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Y'all done fainted over there?
No, I ain't fainted, Sister Evangelist Clayton. I'm over here.